So what is it about today that says, go be joyful now? Whether it's an early Easter on the calendar or a late arriving spring, are the first time since 1956 that April Fool's Day and Easter have converged, something is driving me to claim joy today. The resurrection of our hearts is a real need after so much grief and mourning. We need to lift our burdens now. In all the layers of human meaning-making around Easter and spring and April Fools from ancient Roman tradition and the celebrations of the pre-Christian goddess Easter, we see and experience this reenactment of joy returning. There's loss and endless sadness, and then the lovely, unexpected, longed-for surprise. So this year, my Easter experience is in the story of the frogs, right? Frogs, remember them? I've been reading The Sixth Extinction by Elizabeth Colbert and worrying about the frogs, actually. You see, frogs around the world have been disappearing, and frog researchers found that many of the dead frogs were covered with the same aggressive skin fungus known as, all right, here we go, Batrachochytrium dendrobatidis. I did it. Now it's your turn. Say it with me. Come on, you can do it. Batrachochytrium dendrobatidis. Scientists call it BD. BD has spread from forest to forest and continent to continent, and those scientists fear that amphibians are suffering a mass extinction. They guess that at least 200 kinds of frogs have already become extinct, and many more are dwindling. Species of frogs that survived the extinctions of the dinosaurs have been disappearing because of BD. But this Friday, in the New York Times, an article was published that reports that some of the frogs are coming back, resurrected, if you will, from what we thought was an extinction of an entire species. Not all of the missing frogs, but a handful of them appear to be coming back. Dr. Jamie Boyle reports that after discovering variable harlequin frogs again, after not seeing them for a number of years, she and her colleagues have returned to Panama at their research sites and found a few other species that had previously vanished too. Some of the returning species from around the world include the Majorcan, I didn't practice that one, Majorcan midwife toad. You read it. What does it say? Oh, you're very good, yeah. How about this one? This one is the one she discovered, harlequin frog. Aren't they cute? They're not returning in large numbers, she says, but we think that as time goes by, we are finding more species returning than we had thought was lost. So the big question is why? Why are the frogs returning from the brink of extinction? When Dr. Boyle rediscovered a few of those vanishing species, she initially suspected that the BD fungus was becoming less deadly. In outbreaks of other pathogens, they've sometimes evolved into milder forms that no longer wipe out their hosts that they depend on for survival. All frogs have skin secretions that are designed to protect them, too. Dr. Boyle thought that some of the species of frogs included a few mutants with stronger skin secretions that were effective against BD. While other frogs died off, the mutants survived and passed down their defensive genes. Another idea is that the immune system of frogs stepped up to help the rebound of some of the species, along with those stronger skin secretions. It's also possible that other factors matter, like warming due to climate change, have actually helped in this particular case. The BD fungus can grow only in cool temperatures. If some frogs move down to lower altitudes where it's warmer, they might be spared. The skin secretion part of the story is probably not the only thing that's going on, said Dr. Boyles. There's probably lots of different reasons why different species have survived and in some cases recovered. While we may not fully understand the reasons why, the fact is rebound and recovery from extinction and adaptation to new circumstances, that's what gives me hope. Hope for the frogs and hope for all of us again. Now there's another little frog that gives us hope right here at home. They are really tiny, about the size of the tip of your finger, so we almost never see them, but we do hear them. The spring peepers, they're called, make an amazing, hopeful sound, and if you listen carefully in that so still, you might hear them. Let's see if we can... recognize that? That is a hopeful sound. Thankfully, these kinds of frogs have not been threatened by BD. As the weather warms, you're going to hear them in the evening singing their hope-filled, lusty little tunes. Peepers live in damp and swampy places, and it's the male of the species that makes that notable song. And I have to admit, I go out of my way to hear the spring peepers. I roll down my car windows when I pass certain corners and spots where I know they might be singing, just to hear them. The interesting thing about peepers, though, in addition to their song, is that they can survive in down to minus 8 degree temperatures. Remember minus 8? It's cold. They freeze and thaw and refreeze again like popsicles. It happens every year. A thaw in January or February starts the peepers singing. It gets cold again and they freeze up and stop. The earth thaws and refreezes again and again, and so do the amazing spring peepers. They do not give up. They are living examples of resurrection, living to make a joyful noise again. So today, we are not giving up either. We're not giving in to all that weighs on our hearts. If you are up to it, you are invited to go for a walk in the woods behind Edgewood House around noon today. I imagine we will find some stillness. We might hear some spring peepers singing, and we might see Easter pushing up through the death of the forest floor. I trust that something will rise up and surprise our winter-weary hearts and create joy there. David Rankin wrote these beautiful words. Dear God, Good Friday is gone, a dark day on the calendar, a time of suffering with more losses than gains, and more pain than we thought we could bear. We are tired of crying. We are tired of burying. We are tired of mourning. But Easter is here, and we who have survived are prepared for the turning of the year. Not to escape the past, but to provide a witness for a brighter future. We are ready for joy. We are ready for love. And we are ready for new beginnings. May it be so. Amen.
I'd like to invite the chalice singers up. While they're assembling, I would like you to take a wild guess about who the chalice singers' friends are. It's you! The chalice singers are going to sing this song for us, so you'll hear them sing it twice through, and the words are up here. After they're done singing it, we're going to make a joyful noise, so pay careful attention. If you can make the motions that they do, there's hand motions, you can make that, but just listen to it as they teach it, okay?
Oh.
make a joyful noise, all right? This is just like Row, Row, Row Your Boat, where everybody's going to sing the whole thing through twice. Stay here to help the grown-ups, okay? They're going to need it. you're just going to sing through, straight through twice, only group one starts. Maybe cut a middle through here. Then group two comes in, I'll show you. And then group three comes in. The first part, you just pat your legs or something that is comfortable. Then the second part on the long notes, you do the long waves. And in the end, you do some little sunbursts, okay? Let's try it. You sing it twice through. Once you've sung it twice, stop. Twice, stop, twice, stop. Got it? Okay. Here we go. Here's our group one. Are we ready? 1-5-1 again.
That I am not the music director. It's very brave, Louise, very brave. I also want to say that I feel like Reverend Virginia played an April Fool's joke on me today, because since I was a child, I have had a terrible fear, a terrible, terrible fear of frogs. I'm going to have to meditate after this. I will not be joining you on the walk, but have a wonderful time. Are you ready for an excellent Easter egg hunt?
Yes.
We have prepared something extra special for you this year. So what we've done is we have hidden plastic eggs all over the fenced-in playground and in this back area here, with the exception of the memorial garden, which is right here. And I want all of the kids who are going to participate after the service, not yet, to head down the hallway and go all the way out the back door and line up on the sidewalk. That's the most important instruction, is to line up this on the sidewalk and to wait. And then this year, we normally don't put anything in the eggs. We're trying to be environmentally friendly. You're already getting enough candy. But this year, we have something in the eggs, something very special. So after you've collected your eggs, you're going to come to the bunny table. You're going to collect your bunny bag. You're going to return the eggs. And since we're being environmentally friendly, mostly, you should not throw anything that's in the eggs on the ground. Everything comes back to the bunny table that you wish to keep. And so after the service, after Virginia blesses the world, we shall make our way out the back door for our excellent, extra special Easter egg hunt. Thank you.
Please rise in body or spirit, and we're going to sing number 363, Alleluia, Sing Stars. I'm going to play it through once. We will sing it through together twice, and we will do the Amen at the end.